is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
There's so many schools here in the Midwest. And how do you differentiate yourself? And maybe someone has a wrinkle or a locker room or something that's different. But for the most part, there's more similarities and differences. And what's going to be our difference? And we feel like it's got to be us as people. It's got to be us as how we do things as a coaching staff, our honesty, our integrity, the way we treat our players, the personal connection that we have off the basketball court is a big, big thing. And I think that's something I've learned from, the guys I've been fortunate to work for.
Clayton Bates is in his second season as the men's head basketball coach at Western Michigan University. Bates has spent a considerable portion of his coaching career as an assistant with the Broncos. He was hired at Western Michigan in 2000 by former head coach Robert McCollum and later served on former head coach Steve Hawkins' staff. Clayton stepped away from coaching for the 2008-2009 season before returning to the Western Michigan bench for the 2009-2010 season. He stepped aside after that campaign, served as an assistant coach to Billy Donlin at Wright State from 2010 to 2012, and then rejoined Hawkins' staff once again as an assistant coach in 2012. He was later elevated to associate head coach prior to being named the head coach in 2020. Bates played his college basketball at the University of Florida under Lon Kruger, where he played for Gator teams that made four postseason appearances, including the 1994 Final Four. Following his playing career, Clayton served as an administrative assistant with Lon Kruger at the University of Illinois in 1997. After 1 year at Illinois, Bates returned to his native Florida as an assistant coach at Jacksonville University for the next 3 years under Hall of Fame coach Hugh Durham. Take some notes as you listen to this episode with Clayton Bates, men's basketball head coach at Western Michigan University. Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Corey Heights from Prep Athletics, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Follow us on social media at hoopheadspod on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to check out the Hoopheads Podcast Network for more great basketball content. Are you tired of overpaying for your video and analytics platform? Well, it's time to check out QuickCut.com, a platform built by coaches for coaches. QuickCut is undeniably more affordable, it's all cloud-based, and comes packed with features to help high schools and youth programs store, share, and analyze game film. Make the switch, get double the storage, and save your program up to 50% on the fastest-growing video editing system in the country. For more information or to request a free trial, visit QuickCut.com/basketball. That's QWIKCUT.com. Take some notes as you listen to this episode with Clayton Bates, men's basketball head coach at Western Michigan University. Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel this morning, but I am pleased to be joined by the head coach at Western Michigan University, Clayton Bates. Clayton, welcome to the Hoopheads pod.
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
Morning. Excited to have you on. Wanted to get a chance to talk to you about all the things that you've been able to do in your playing and coaching career. Let's start by going back to yourself as a player. You played at the University of Florida. Tell us a little bit about your experiences as a collegiate player, and then we can get into how that led you into the coaching profession.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in Gainesville, Florida, where obviously the University of Florida is. My dad was a professor on campus there. That's the only job he ever had. And so I didn't know anything different than being a Florida Gator growing up. And I grew up about 4 miles away from the campus, spent a lot of time on the campus, obviously, you know, going to games growing up, football games, basketball games, different events, obviously, things my dad was involved in. And so then when I started the recruiting process and had some opportunities to do some different things, was, you know, obviously my heart was always set on being a Florida Gator. And Coach Kruger came to a couple of my games, asked me to be a walk-on for the team. I thought I wanted to do that. You know, I had some other opportunities to do that, but it was a lifelong goal of mine to do it and really wanted to see if I could play and compete, you know, at that level. Had a great, you know, I redshirted my first year, then coach for some reason saw enough in me to put me on scholarship. But had an unbelievable experience, an unbelievable career, obviously highlighted by going to the Final Four in 94. But, you know, maybe, you know, one of the things I share with our team and talk about a little bit to maybe help our guys is, you know, I didn't have the greatest stats. I didn't have the, you know, put up these gaudy numbers or all this or all that. But I wouldn't trade my experience for anything. There's the best, actually, 5 years of college for me. But I made some lifelong friends. I had some unbelievable on the court experiences, had some unbelievable off the court experiences. And it turned out great. I thought it was the right decision. You never know. But then when it was all said and done, it was obviously the best decision for me. And I was just thrilled to have a great experience.
What's your best memory from that Final Four? What sticks out?
You know, I would say, you know, I don't know if I can say it's just, hey, this or that. I'm obviously winning to go to the Final Four, but you know, when we made the NCAA tournament, you know, we were the 3 seed and just the whole 3 weeks of it. You know, we played up in Long Island in the first 2 rounds, really had to fight and scratch our way to win the 3-14 game against James Madison. And then we went down in for the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 games we played in Miami, which is basically like a home games for us. You know, we played UConn and Boston College at, you know, down there in front of 15, 16,000 Gators, and they had nobody there. And then to do that and then be the first team to go to the Final Four in the University of Florida's history and go to Charlotte and do that. The whole 3 weeks was a blur, an incredible experience. You know, the whole thing obviously is something that we all as players and obviously coaches, everyone involved with that group still talk about and remember fondly.
How often you guys ever get together as a group? I mean, obviously you can't get every single person together, but how much are you in touch with those teammates?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd like to say that all of us are in touch all the time. Obviously, some, you know, it's obviously as you know, time kind of changes some things. But, you know, there's been a few reunions that we've been able to have. Quite honestly, I haven't been able to go to any of them because, you know, whether it's a 10-year or a 15-year or whatever, it's during basketball season. And I'm a little busy during basketball season and not able to get there. I will tell you the one thing that was really cool when Billy Donovan coached the Gators to their first national championship. He had a reunion in September, actually. The whole football team, I mean, the basketball team was being honored at a football game. But Coach Donovan invited every former Gator basketball player, not just the guys that were on the team, but he invited everybody that had ever been, that had ever played. And I was able to go down there for that. And that was a really cool experience to see, you know, Gators from all generations come down and celebrate it. And Coach was awesome about it. You know, it was obviously this team that won the championship, but it was all the work that everybody had done and the sacrifice had done before. So that was a really cool experience for me.
When does coaching get on your radar? Is that something that you had been thinking about as a kid growing up, thinking that, hey, when my playing career is over, I'm going to go into coaching? Or was that a case where your playing career ends, you start looking around going, man, I still want to be involved in the game. Let me take a look at coaching. Which one of those better describes you? Or maybe there was another path to it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that I really wanted to do. You know, I got my undergraduate degree in exercise science. I was accepted to physical therapy school. I thought that was the route I was going to go in. But as a player over the summer, I was the guy, you know, bugging Coach Kruger and the rest of the staff about, you know, how do I do this? How do I get my foot in the door? And I went and worked camps, you know, whether it's Clemson or Duke or South Carolina or wherever I could go, just to try to meet people, network, things like that. And I was always doing that during my college career. But, you know, Coach Kruger and the rest of the guys on staff were always like, hey, it's really, really difficult to break in. It's really, really hard. You got to find someone to give you a chance. And so when my playing career was over, actually, Coach Kruger left. He left after my senior year and went to the University of Illinois. And so I'd actually taken another job, not in coaching. I was still trying to figure out whether it's help out at a junior college or a high school or something. And I'm playing, you know, pickup basketball at my high school with my buddies. And I had talked to Coach Kruger and I knew there was an opportunity, maybe, I don't know. And, you know, this is back in the day when there were pagers, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm playing and my pager goes off. And so I go over there and check in his coach and he's back in town from Champaign and it's like 11 at night or whatever and sends me a text and sends me a page and I call him and he says, hey, why don't you stop on over to the house? So I drive out to his house at like midnight and sit down. He's decked out in all this Illinois gear and I'm hurt because I'm a Gator, right? And he asked me if I, you know, have an interest in coming to Champaign and helping out and getting my feet wet. And at that time, I'd been accepted also to get my MBA at Florida. I'd won a scholarship to do that. And, you know, I just went home and told my mom and dad, this is what I want to give it a shot. I want to do this. And so he gave me an opportunity to get my foot in the door and obviously forever thankful for that.
What did that look like and feel like going from having him as your coach to now he's your colleague? So you kind of step behind that curtain to see what goes on behind the scenes. And that relationship obviously changes when you're a colleague as opposed to a coach-player relationship. So what did that look like? What do you remember about that first experience with him?
Well, Coach has been such a huge influence in my life. And maybe one of the reasons it really strengthened my feelings that I wanted to be a coach was Lon Kruger. I always tell people this. I mean, I think Coach Kruger, without question, is one of the best basketball coaches we've had, you know, over the last, you know, 20, 25, 30 years. And maybe he doesn't get all the accolades that some coaches get, and he hasn't won the national title and things like that. But universally, everybody respects the coach that Lon Kruger is. And how good a coach he is, I think, is, like I said, understated. But how good a man he is incredible. He's a better person than he is a coach, and he's a hell of a coach. And so to play for him and kind of, you know, try to be like him as a player, and then to go and work for him and try to mimic the things he does as a coach, you know, is really humbling. And so to see what he does and see how he works with the players on a day-to-day basis and the staff and manages the so many things that came across his desk, certainly was very, very eye-opening and helpful for me.
When you think about that first experience and getting into coaching, what was something that you immediately took to that you're like, oh, I love this part of coaching that really got your juices flowing that you said, man, this is what I can do for the rest of my life?
You know, I think probably all of us just want to be on a team. You know, we want to be on a team. You know, I say to people, you know, not in athletics and not in coaching, or, you know, you can never replicate the 5 minutes after a game, win or lose. The joy of doing it together and getting a win, and the work it takes to put in and the celebration afterwards, you can tell people about, but you have to experience it. And, you know, when you lose the same way, the hurt, the heartache, the disappointment, the same thing you invested and put everything in and then you don't get it done. And I think that's why people always talk about, well, hey, why did this coach come back to coaching and he's got plenty of money or he doesn't need a job or things like that. I think it's truly because you can't replicate the 5 to 10 minutes after the game and the celebration of the work or the disappointment of the work or the hunger to get back to work.
Yeah, I think that competitiveness when you're a player, especially as you grow up, and it's really difficult to replicate that in any area of your life when you think about how much time and effort you put in during your playing career and how competitive you have to be able to get to a certain level. And then suddenly when that goes away, it's interesting and it's challenging. And I think people who are athletic and are competitive are always looking for that way to continue to compete. And I think coaching is a way that you can continue to have that. And also, like you said, the camaraderie of being with teammates or as a coach, being with your players, being with your staff, there's nothing that can replicate that. So you get that start with Coach Kruger at Illinois, and then eventually you get an opportunity to head back to Florida to go to Jacksonville. Talk a little bit about how that experience played out for you and how you got that opportunity.
Sure. Yeah. So Coach Durham was the coach at Georgia when I played at Florida. I think he politely said he remembered me. He couldn't remember me much as a player. But you know, he was out of coaching. He had been let go by Georgia. His wife, you know, was originally from Jacksonville. The JU job became available. And, you know, my brother and sister both lived in Jacksonville at the time. And, you know, obviously it was a natural draw for me. You know, Coach Durham is the absolute best. You know, Coach is one of those guys that, you know, he can't tell a lie. It is what it is. And so I reached out to him and tried to put my name in the, get my name in the hat. And Coach Kruger obviously did as well. And, you know, Coach was like, you know, I know we've just taken this over. I'm hiring my son. I'm hiring Charlton Young, who's now at Florida State, has made a bunch of stops and is an outstanding coach. And he says, you know, I'm trying to get someone who can bring me some players in here with, you know, from where they're at now. And if that doesn't work out, let's talk. And so he was really honest with me about it. And, you know, it just, you know, kind of the cards kind of fell in my favor. We kind of stayed in touch. He asked me to send him some information and things like that. And some different videos and stuff that I was doing for the team at Illinois. And you know, literally called me up and said, hey, I'd like to talk to you. And I said, Coach, I'll fly there. I'll fly there. I'll get as soon as I can. I'll get on a plane. You don't have to fly me. I'll fly there. And I flew down there and visited with him. And long story short, obviously he gave me an opportunity when, you know, probably, you know, again, someone's just taking a chance on you. I had no experience other than my, you know, one season at Illinois. I'd never coached before. And for him to take a chance on me and to do that with, you know, was incredibly humbling. For here's a guy that's the all-time winningest coach at Florida State. He's the all-time winningest coach at Georgia. And then to take a chance on a guy that's 23 years old with no experience certainly was very, very humbling.
What advice could you give from that experience that you had in those first two jobs to somebody who's a young coach trying to break into the business, of some of the things that maybe you did well, or maybe something that if you had it to do over again, you might do differently for somebody who's just starting out their career as a college coach?
Well, I would say two things. First of all, you know, I went into interview with Coach Durham and he kind of asked me a kind of a critical question of Coach Kruger. Kind of asked me, you know, why does Coach do this? You know, I didn't, you know, understand this or that. And, you know, I can't, you know, why would he do something like that? And I didn't know it at the time, but he told me when he got the job that when he asked me that question, he was trying to set me up and he was trying to see if I would be critical of Coach Kruger to try to impress Hugh Durham to get the job. And I didn't know it at the time. I just, my initial reaction was my loyalty is to Coach Kruger. You know, I played for him. He's given me an opportunity. You know, maybe I don't agree with everything Coach Kruger does, but if he wants to do it and that's the decision, then I'm all in for it. And he told me that, you know, among, you know, some other things, that probably was the big reason that I got the job, but that loyalty was that important. And so that really taught me a real valuable lesson as I've continued my coaching career that, you know, it doesn't do any good to tell people you agree or don't agree with something that's going on. Hey, man, we're all on the same team. You know, let's all jump in with that. So I think that was a big, big learning lesson for me. And then maybe the best thing that helped me is back then at the time when I got the job, I wasn't allowed to recruit. Only two assistants were allowed off campus to recruit. So we have a meeting and Doug and Charlton and I are sitting in the room and Coach Durham's like, okay, let's talk about some staff responsibilities. Okay, Doug, Charlton, recruit. We need players. We've got to rebuild this program, recruit. Clayton, everything else. So, you know, our office is at Jacksonville. They're in a double wide trailer. You know, we're in this tiny space. I'm doing laundry. I'm breaking down film. I'm doing all the individual workouts. I mean, it's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every night. But it really helped me because As I've gone through my coaching career, just that experience, and as I've moved along, I've been able to touch really every part of the program and have some knowledge of that. And so it's really helped me as I've kind of grown here.
I can imagine that having all those responsibilities. We've talked to a lot of D3 coaches who have had, I guess, sort of a similar experience in that when you're the lead assistant at a Division III school, you're basically having to do everything. We've heard that same sentiment from a lot of coaches that, look, early in your career, the more things you can put your hands in and get experience with, the better off you're going to be as you move up the ladder. Not everybody gets an opportunity to start on a Division I staff where you have 8, 9, 10 guys now, especially when you think about all the specialties and even when you go to the mental performance coaches and the nutrition and all the things that you think back to when you were playing, or I'm a little bit older than you. I played from 88 to 92. And, none of that stuff existed. We had our strength and conditioning guy was just the football strength and conditioning coach. Right. So you think about just the advancement and how much further we are along in terms of understanding what impacts performance, but definitely getting that opportunity to do all those things benefits you as you go over the course of your career. And you've spent a lot of that career as an assistant coach at Western Michigan. So tell us a little bit about how you get to Western and then what obviously has made it such a special place that you've now been there. This is your, I guess, third stint when you think about two stints as an assistant and now as the head coach. So first of all, I'll talk about how you got there and then just what makes it a special place. And then we'll dive into what you're trying to do there as a head coach.
Sure. So as I played at Florida, one of the assistants that was there was Robert McCullum. Ironically, Ron Stewart, who I'm going to get to in a second, was an assistant here at Florida as well. Coach McCullum followed Coach Kruger to Illinois. So obviously I worked with Coach Mack and was at Illinois with Coach Mack. And after my third year at Jacksonville, Coach Mack got the job here at Western Michigan. Ironically, Ron Stewart, who was on staff at Florida, was the women's basketball coach now at Western Michigan. And so Coach Mack calls me up and, again, same thing, even though I'd played for him for 5 years and worked together with him, he came to Indianapolis. Clayton, I'm going to interview you just like everybody else. It wasn't just, hey, here's a phone call. And again, got the opportunity to come here. I drove from Jacksonville to Kalamazoo, Michigan, all in one day, 17 and a half hours in my green Honda Civic, loaded up basically everything and showed up and was here. And, it's been a great experience. Coach was here for 3 years and then took the South Florida job. I actually went to South Florida for 2 weeks. Coach Hawkins, Hawk got the job here and I came back. This has just really become, my hometown. I moved here, I was single and I met my wife. My wife was a volleyball coach here. When we met, I had to recruit her to begin with. But was somehow able to get that done.
That's the best recruiting job there is right there.
Yeah, I mean, it was great for me. I think she's looked at the transfer portal several times here during our marriage here. But, we've got married and started our family. And as you know, in the coaching profession, you can be very transient. You can be moving around a lot, and we really liked it here. She's from here. Her family's here. Our kids were born here. We moved down to Wright State for a couple years. And quite honestly, it's a great program down there. And, sometimes you wonder if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And really had a great experience in my time at Wright State. And we've met some great friends that we're still very, very close with. But we wanted to get back here. When Hawk offered us the opportunity, we came back here. So, yeah, it's been a great run. Our kids have lived in Ohio for 2 years, but their whole life, one's a senior now in high school and one's a freshman in high school. And what they really know is Kalamazoo. And to do that as a family and to do that together has been really neat.
Yeah, it's rare in the coaching profession to be able to stay pretty much in one spot and be able to raise your family. It's challenging enough to raise your family when you're a coach, no matter what the situation is, just because of the time demands and obviously what you have to do as a head coach or even as an assistant coach at the college level, especially being on the road and all the things that go in and all the challenges. So to be able to do that in one spot, I'm sure has been invaluable to you and your wife and your kids and makes a huge difference. When you think about what you learned over the course of your career as an assistant coach that have led you now as a head coach, things that you think have really helped you in terms of how you want to organize your program, things that you've seen from the head coaches that you've worked for. Are there one or two things that stand out to you that you can point to as an assistant coach that you're like, yeah, this is something that I need to make sure when I get the opportunity to run my own program, that this is part of what I do?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously playing for coach and working for Coach Kruger, and then with Coach Durham and Coach McCollum and Billy Donlin and Steve Hawkins, all of those guys have had such an impact on me. And you try to take a little bit from everybody. And I was able to do that with some really, really good coaches. I think maybe the biggest thing I've learned in my time as an assistant coach that's helped me in this position that I'm in now is, like everything else, coaching, leading a team, this is a relationships business. And if you want to be good at anything, whether it's coaching or selling insurance or being a teacher and relating to your students, you have to have a connection. You have to have the personal investment, you know, from each of your guys. And so to be able to do that is something that's really, really important. Not just myself, but our staff here. You know, one of the things we candidly talk about in the recruiting process, and we talk about a lot amongst the staff, is, you know, there's differences. Let's just take the Mid-American Conference. There's differences amongst all 12 schools in our league. They're all very good schools. They're all maybe they're in this state or that state, but there's a lot of similarities. There are some differences, but there's more similarities than there are differences. And then you throw in the Horizon League or the Missouri Valley, you know, the Summit League. There's so many schools here in the Colonial or the A-10. There's so many schools here in the Midwest. And how do you differentiate yourself? And maybe someone has a wrinkle or a locker room or something that's different. But for the most part, there's more similarities and differences. And what's going to be our difference? And we feel like it's got to be us as people. It's got to be us as how we do things as a coaching staff. You know, our honesty, our integrity, the way we treat our players, the personal connection that we have off the basketball court is a big, big thing. And I think that's something I've learned from, like I said, the guys I've been fortunate to work for.
How do you go about building those relationships? What does that look like for you, both on the floor and off the court? What are some things that you think that you're able to do to build those relationships? I mean, obviously it comes down to your personality and making an investment of time and those things. But is there anything that you can point to? You know, hey, I go to breakfast with my guys, you know, once a week, or we have this kind of meeting, or we talk this, or on the practice floor, I'm trying to incorporate that. Is there anything that you can point to that you really try to do intentionally to build relationships with your players?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that's, you know, probably none of us coaches feel like we do enough of, right? You always are trying to find some different things, but I think if your relationship with your players is just from, for example, 3 to 5, you're not going to get as much out of them as you hope. One of the things that we do is we ask all of our players to come by the office every day, not to watch film, or not to, hey, you didn't play well, or you did play well, or all like that. But just to build a connection, just to, you know, have a conversation, like, you know, how are things going? How are things home? How are things going at home? What movie did you see last night? You know, what'd you do? We have a fun staff. We have a fun group of guys. It turns into just to arguing about something or making fun of each other about something, but trying to build more of that. And then certainly some of the things you talked about, whether they're team meals or individual meals or things like that, we're always trying to push the which button helps here and all like that. And I would say probably, you know, most coaches probably say they want to do all those things and you become a kind of a victim of your own calendar and don't do enough of that. And certainly I'm guilty of that at times, for sure.
Yeah. That intentionality piece, it's really easy for that stuff to get away from you, especially during the day-to-day grind of the season. And you're trying to prepare for your next opponent and get your team ready. And you're focused in on those X's and O's and the basketball piece of it. And it's easy sometimes if you're not super intentional about what you're trying to do on the relationship side, it's easy for that to slip away. I know, obviously not on the same level as a coach as yourself, but I know with teams, even when I'm coaching, whether it's my own kids or back when I was a high school coach, it gets really easy for that stuff to get away from you. And you can very easily spend too much time focusing on the non-human side of it and focus on the X's and O's and that kind of thing. And the human side of it can get away from you. When you start looking at where you are right now as a program and where you'd like to get to, what do you see as your biggest challenge moving forward to take Western Michigan to where you want them to go?
Yeah, you know, I think I like what you're talking about with challenge, or, you know, and we like to use the word opportunity. I think, you know, candidly, when we took over, I think the biggest area that is going to take some time with us, you know, when we got hired in the height of the pandemic, and we took over a team, and we didn't even meet the new guys on our team until they showed up to campus in September. We weren't allowed to have our kids here last summer, in the summer of 2020 at all. And so we added 4 new players to our team, and none of them had ever been to campus. Like, we're literally meeting them in the parking lot of the dorm or their apartment complex they're moving into. It's like, hey, you really are 6'7". How about that? And they're really, and then you go through the year that everyone had last year, where you're stay in your dorm, stay away from one another, no one getting near each other, grab and go meals, you know, things like that. And Michigan, not a criticism, Michigan was very rigid in what they were wanting to do as a state and to keep everybody healthy. And so we went through a season where it was really a unique thing. And so then this year, again, we're trying to add people to our team. And it wasn't until June until you're allowed to have people on campus again. So, you know, we've been here for, you know, almost 18 months now, and we haven't brought anyone. We've brought one young man on campus on an official visit that's not committed here, that everyone else just came sight unseen. And we didn't go visit with them and their parents and things like that. It's been a really unique way to build a team and to build an organization. We're thrilled with the results that we've been able to make, you know, in terms of building our roster. But it's been so non-traditional on how to build this. And again, our previous conversation about the personal relationships. This hasn't, like, we've known this young man since he's a sophomore in high school or a junior in high school, and we've built our way up. It hasn't been that way. And so, not that last year didn't count, because it does count, you know, but almost last year was like a survival year. And this year is kind of like our first year in the program. And as we're trying to build things and get back out on the road, recruiting and things like that. So yeah, it's been a unique experience, to say the least. But I'm not complaining. I think a lot of people are in some similar situations. It's just, we took over in the middle of all of this, and maybe some people had their program established already.
In terms of, I can only imagine, as a brand new staff trying to navigate that for the first time, because again, under normal circumstances, right, you could have picked up the phone and called any number of your previous head coaches, your mentors, and said, hey, here's the situation I'm facing. How did you handle that? And look for advice from them. But this was such a unique experience for everybody. Nobody had gone through it, let alone nobody going through it as somebody who is, as you said, hired right into the height of that pandemic, where everybody's just kind of looking around going, well, I don't really know how to navigate this, because obviously none of us have ever had to do it. So I'm sure the challenge there was huge when you talk about building relationships. How about on the basketball side of it, in terms of building your philosophy and figuring out how you wanted to play and getting to know your kids and making sure that what you wanted to do X's and O's on the floor, offensively, defensively, the type of style you wanted to play, meshed with a group of kids that, again, you may not have had as much experience with them as you would have normally coming in as a new coach.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've tried to do as a staff, I think, you know, Coach Kruger used to always talk about this. It's, you know, it's our job as coaches to put our players and obviously our team collectively in a position to be successful. And you've got to, one thing we don't do is we don't say, hey, this is what we do offensively, this is what we do defensively, and, you know, if you can't do it, it doesn't work. Obviously, we've got some core values that we have, but we have to be able to change, you know, not just from year to year, but your team changes during the year, and you have to be able to adapt to what our guys do. What we, you know, we really talk about, you know, forget like this play or, you know, who's going to be our leading scorer and things like that. You know, one of the things we talk about is our biggest thing is that, you know, our effort, you know, our goal is to walk in there every night and play harder than you. And that's a big thing. And that's not an easy thing to do. Certainly in this league, there's a lot of teams that play very, very hard. But the effort that you have to play with is a non-negotiable for us. The other thing we talk about is we don't want to beat ourselves. whether that's by turnovers or by unnecessary fouling, you know, shot selection, things like that. And that's never going to be something that's 100% perfect, but it's got to be something that we strive to get to. And then the other thing we talk about, we use a phrase called, you know, team first forever. And what's best for the team, what's best for the group, no matter who you are, whether that's me or a player or a student manager or the guy that does video for us, our thoughts always have to be, you know, have to be for the team and what it takes for us collectively to have success. And we really use those things as a backbone of how we then build on what we do offensively and defensively and those areas. But I think you have to have some core values or what we call non-negotiables to be able to build on with whatever you decide to do systematically.
When you think about that playing hard piece, I'll ask you this question, then one more to be respectful of your time. But when you think about that playing hard piece, what does that look like for you in terms of the demands that you put on your players on the practice floor and conversations that you're having with them, whether that's team meetings, whether you're just talking to them individually? How do you make sure that your guys are going to compete to the level that you want them to compete to? Is there anything that you do competitively in your practices? Just how do you stoke those fires to make sure your kids are going to play hard all the time?
Yeah, obviously, you know, that again, that's not something, as you know, that is a, hey, snap your fingers or this is the answer or look up in this file and this is what you do. I think a lot of it comes down to recruiting.
Yeah.
Again, what kind of young men are you trying to bring into your program? But I also think this, I think they're going to play hard. Our guys are going to play hard. All guys are going to play hard if it's something that they believe in. And I think without that buy-in, without that belief, without that connection to your teammate, the guy that's sitting in the locker room to your right and to your left or across the way, I think when there's buy-in to one another, there's a real, you know, I joke about this. I'm 49 years old and I'm afraid to death to let Coach Kruger down today. You know, I really am. And he's such a good person and such a good coach that, you know, if he called me right now, if we got off this and he called me and asked me something, I don't want to let him down. And I think that went a long way, you know, for us at the University of Florida. We weren't the most talented team. We weren't one of the four most talented teams when we went to the Final Four. But we probably were one of the four most connected teams and one of the four teams that wanted to find a way collectively to get a win for one another. And that's obviously what all coaches are trying to do, and we're certainly trying to do here at Western Michigan.
All right, final question. What brings you the most joy when you think about getting up in the morning, getting into your car, rolling into the office? What brings you the most joy of what you get to do day in and day out as the head basketball coach at Western Michigan?
Well, you know, I think obviously when I wake up in the morning, you know, walking downstairs and seeing my girls and my wife and seeing those guys, I mean, that obviously gives me a real purpose and a real excitement about the sacrifices that you make when you do this for a living. But I think this, you know, I mean this, I tell our guys this, I want them to believe this. You know, we practice at 3 o'clock every day. I want this to be the best 2 hours of their day. I really do. I've been a part of teams. I've seen guys and they dread coming to practice and what's the mood going to be like? What's the atmosphere going to be like? I just dread that. And walking out on the court and seeing our guys and, you know, we have some time we spend, you know, before practice and we're, you know, just, you know, before we get going and the interaction and the fun and the joy of it all. And then obviously, as you, you know, go through it, you know, I think that's the best thing for me is those 2 hours when we get to work together and be together. And, you know, it's not the phone calls or the long drives or the late nights or sitting there watching video and trying to think you've got some way to win a game. It's not those things that drive you as a coach. It's being out there on the court with the guys.
Absolutely. I think the people part of it, you know, obviously winning and losing and the X's and O's and the basketball side of it are definitely things that we all as basketball guys that we love. And yet ultimately it still comes down to, as you said, your family, your relationships that you build with your players so that, you know, whether it's you at the University of Florida having a reunion and getting to hook back up with your teammates, or whether it's you as a coach getting a call from one of your players that you had 20 years ago to tell you about something that's going on in your life. Really, again, that's what coaching ultimately ends up being about, is using the game of basketball to be able to have an impact on the people that you interact with on a daily basis. Coach, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule today. Before we wrap up, if you want to just share where people can reach out to you, what's the best way to find out more about you and your program? And then I'll jump back in and wrap it up.
Yeah, sure. Obviously our website through our university, you know, WMUBroncos.com, you know, all the social media channels, we're on there. You know, you can certainly follow us on Instagram and Twitter and all like that. You know, one thing I notice is, you know, how broad your listening base is. You know, this hopefully this spreads throughout the Midwest. But we always say this to anybody that wants to be involved with it. You can always come to practice. You know, if you're in town and you're a basketball coach at any level, and you want to come to practice or bring your team, you're always welcome to. Fans, we tell all of our season ticket holders or fans, or you know, if you're in town, you've got a meeting with someone else in the department, come watch practice. Come be involved. And we just think it's a great way. I think it's great for our guys. I think it's great to have people be involved. The thing I always tell people is, if you're going to come watch practice. But I'm going to ask you afterwards what you think. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all that. I like feedback. I like that. So yeah, I think obviously all of us want, you know, more attention and more interest in our program, and certainly people to follow us online, or if you're in Kalamazoo, stop by. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Clayton, cannot thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule today to join us. Really appreciate it. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.